Hey everybody, it's JT. What is on your holiday meal shopping list? Well, I would suggest Painted Hills Natural Beef. It is some of the best beef in the world. And your friends and family will be thanking you for a long time if you serve Painted Hills Natural Beef for your holiday meals. And now you can buy it online just by going to PaintedHillsBeef.com. Use the code BBQNATION at checkout and save yourself 15% on your order. Give Painted Hills Natural Beef a place on your table this holiday season.
It's Barbecue Nation with JT on a Northwest Lifestyle Weekend. Now here's JT.
Hey everybody, welcome to Barbecue Nation. I'm JT along with Camaro Dave, high atop the radio world in the official Turn It, Don't Burn It studios in beautiful downtown Portland. We also welcome all of our affiliates on the Radio Northwest Network and down in Texas. As you know, the Royal ended been close to a month ago, and we've been kind of weekly talking to one of the winners, and this week we're no different. We're going to be talking with Greg Gerstner from UTB Barbecue. Greg and his team won the ribs in the open division at the Royal. Our music this week is from Creedence. Who else? Who's going to stop the rain? Because it's getting to be that season out here in the Pacific Northwest where we're based. And also, this portion of Barbecue Nation is brought to you in part by Painted Hills Natural Beef from the heart of the Pacific Northwest. Beef you can feel good about. That's Painted Hills Natural Beef. Greg, welcome to the show, bud.
Thanks. Good to be here.
So is this your biggest win so far?
It is absolutely the biggest win of the entire time I've done barbecue. Absolutely.
How did you get started in barbecue?
I did some work for KC Masterpiece Restaurants after Doc Davis, who started the brand and the sauce, sold to Clorox, and he had some restaurants. And I was at a contest with, and I sat by the pitmaster, had a couple cocktails, and thought it was probably the coolest thing I'd ever seen.
And you'd never even done like the Weber kettle in the backyard to speak of?
Oh, gosh. No, none of that.
Oh, that's, well, you kind of jumped right in with both feet.
Yeah, it's been quite a journey. It's been really fun.
So we got to, for full disclosure, Greg's an attorney. We forgive him for that, but he's an attorney, but he's got a love for barbecue. So kind of bring us through how you got up to speed, Greg, on being able to compete in barbecue. I mean, did you practice? Did you work with somebody? Did you read a book? I mean, everybody's got a different story there.
Yeah, I had a friend that had done barbecue for a long time. And so I went to one contest in Little St. Joseph, Missouri, and was his gopher. And that was, probably 6 months after I had a couple of cocktails with the pitmaster from KC Masterpiece. And started getting into it and bought my own little smoker, had no idea what I was doing. And eventually, after being frustrated about what the biggest guys were doing, I did take the class from Rod Gray at Pellet Envy and started learning about what the most successful teams do and started refining the process so that it could be repeated.
Well, that's a good path to take. I mean, you'd be surprised at how many people I've interviewed over the past few years that have said, well, you know, kind of like your story. I went to an event with a friend, and then we had a couple beers, and this looked like fun. And the next thing you know, I was, you know, taking a class from this person or kind of being a gopher, as you said, for this team. And then pretty soon they're right in the thick of it. So it's each story is unique, but it's kind of always interesting to me of how they get there.
Yeah, now I watched a lot of pans at a number of contests. So.
I bet you did. So how did you develop? I mean, winning the ribs, that's a big deal. Winning the ribs, I mean, all the titles at the Royal are big, but to me, it's kind of ribs and brisket are the two big ones. And
yeah, I agree.
And so how did you develop your method? I mean, I know you did trial and error. Everybody does that, but the rubs or however you did it, walk us through that, please.
Yeah, for a long time, we kind of went off the beaten path and we're doing baby backs and with not a lot of success. Then started trial and error on spare ribs and, you know, kind of cut them down to St. Louis and did a number of experiments between, you know, making our own rubs and glazes and sauces to then going in and learning what some of the most successful guys were doing and learning, you know, some of the techniques to know when the tenderness was right there and looking at and more of a feel for that tenderness. And, you know, big believer in, you know, using Rod Graves stuff and a little bit of Johnny Trigg mixed in with some of his techniques and kind of learned that and kind of, you know, got a process down, wrote it down almost per minute or hour, and had done it a couple times, and I guess the ribs came out okay at the American Royal.
They must have. Now, I find it interesting you just said something there, and a lot of the really successful pit masters and teams I've talked to, they did exactly what you did. They wrote it down. They, you know, I interviewed Paul Kirk a while back, and he was telling me off the air and some during the show about how he develops things, and he wrote them down. And I think a lot of people, when they're doing maybe local contests and stuff, they have a method. It's tried and true for them. They like it. It works. But it's not as exacting as the guys that write it down. And I've seen this in my interviews. The guys that do write it down and follow that schedule as close as they can, they seem to be the most successful ones.
Yeah, and I was a big believer in that on, you know, at the Royal, other than the KCBS categories, they have a sausage, but kind of put together a schedule and kind of laminated it and put it up for all of our team members to kind of follow and kind of assign tasks. So over the years, it's become a little more, I'd call it, you know, intentional and refined as we've gone.
We're talking with Greg Gerstner from UTB, the winner of the ribs division in the Open at this year at the Royal. What does UTB stand for?
Ultimate Team Barbecue.
There you go. That works. That works. How many people do you have on your team, Greg?
We have two others, another attorney I work with, and then my son that's a chef here in Kansas City.
Oh, now that's a good inside baseball type of thing you got going there.
Yeah, he's a lot of help, although he's a chef at one of these little higher-end restaurants, so he's got to get that redneck cooking hat on before he shows up.
Yes, I've seen that, too, where they come in and they've gone, you know, real quickly before we go to break. Had a guy on earlier this year I really liked. He's based here in Portland, BJ Smith, and he's been on a couple of the reality shows and that. He's got three restaurants here, and I asked him what advice he would give to anybody that's looking to go into the culinary world and all that, and he said, don't go to culinary school. He goes, they charge you way too much money, and you don't learn much. And I can just hear the people that listen to this show from the culinary schools just cringing, you know. He said, save that money. Go to L.A., New York, Chicago, Kansas City, someplace. Pick a chef you like to work with and use your tuition money in that for your room, your board, because you're not going to make any money. But if you spend 2 or 3 years with these guys, you're really going to learn stuff. And so every time I hear of somebody that's gone to, you know, CIA or one of those institutes, I'm sure they're very talented and very good people, but I always kind of chuckle off what BJ said there.
That's so true.
It is true. Hey, we're going to take a break here on Barbecue Nation, and we're going to come back talk some more with Greg Gerstner, UTB, the Ultimate Team Barbecue, winner of the Ribs Division in the Open at the Royal right after this. Don't go away. Hey, welcome back to Barbecue Nation. I'm JT. Camaro Dave is out in the parking lot still trying to find a parking spot. If you would like to email us, it's Barbecue Nation, that's BBQ Nation, at alphamediausa.com. You can send us questions, comments, recipes, anything else that you'd like. We also have a Facebook page. It's Barbecue Nation with JT. Say hi to a couple of our affiliates today, KACI up in the Dalles-Hood River area and KLBM in LeGrand. Now, as I've told you every week for the last few weeks, we have a gift certificate available from National Barbecue News. All you got to do is send us an email to Barbecue Nation, that's BBQ Nation at alphamediausa.com, with the answer to the following question: what does Greg Gerstner do for a living outside of barbecue? Now, I made fun of him in the first segment, so send that email then in, and if you get selected, you will get in the mail a gift certificate for a free year subscription from the National Barbecue News. Last week's winner, John Lefevre, from down in Mid-Valley there, nailed it on the first try. So how about that? All right, let's get back to talking to Greg now. How many contests do you compete at a year, Greg?
Usually do two or three.
That's not very many.
Early. Yeah.
Well, you're probably busy with your law practice and stuff, though, aren't you?
Got a lot of different things going on, yeah.
So yeah.
I only make two to three.
Because I know some of these guys we talked to, last week we were talking to Charles Crittenden, and he was doing, I think, 30 a year or something. And I was like, wow, you know, you never get the smell of smoke out of your nostrils.
Yeah, most of the teams around us at these contests do anywhere from 20 to 30 contests a year when we get to talking.
Did they give you any grief for doing so few contests and still coming up the big winner at the Royal?
You know, they were nice enough about it, but, you know, kind of the attitude was, who the heck are you guys?
Yeah. So. You're, even though you're kind of local there, they probably still gave you some grief about that, I would imagine. You know, rookie. After 10 years, you know, you're still a rookie type thing.
A lot of that. Yes. we took a lot of grief, yes.
Well, if you got the a glass with the amber liquid in the left hand, you can take the grief with the right hand, so to speak.
We probably were overserved on both grief and the amber liquid, but you know.
Yeah. Well, that's all right. That's why you're there. What do you find is the toughest part about the competitions for you and your team?
Well, I think that just stamina and staying focused. It's particularly hard for us at the Royal because we do a party for and cook ourselves, which is kind of our kind of calling card to get people to our party at the Royal on Friday night, and then the open contest is Sunday. And on Friday night, we have a party for 1,500. So cooking for 1,500, then trying to come back and do the contest and staying awake and staying focused is somewhat of a challenge.
You got to have a lot of little bottles of 5-hour energy or something there to keep you going, I would imagine.
We did have some of that in Red Bull. So
there you go.
Good combo.
There you go. Is it hard to keep your team focused, even though you made your list and a timeline and all that, and it's there where everybody can see. But, you know, as you get down into competitions, and it doesn't matter whether it's barbecue or golf or frisbee, maybe not frisbee, but, you know, tough to keep the team together. Sometimes people, when I was doing things like this, sometimes people would wander off and you wouldn't see them for 2 hours.
Yes, and particularly at some of these bigger contests where there's so much else going on and entertainment, you know, the walk away, lose focus, that kind of stuff. So it's really tough. One of the, I think, best things that we learned is to really do as much before the contest as you can, like butchering the meat, having it vacuum packed, ready to go, and having that process down so you're not doing as much out on the site. So that's really helped stay focused too.
When you're doing that, when you're doing your prep and your timing, kind of give us a rundown of, do you do your trimming and butchering on Thursdays or Wednesdays, or when do you pick up your meat? I mean, what's your schedule on that?
Yeah, so, you know, on the contest we pick up the meat probably Tuesday, Wednesday, start, you know, butchering it, cutting it down for the contest on Wednesday or Thursday, putting it in vacuum packs, and then, you know, having it at the site, and then you know, trying to get the kind of temperature check as early as we can so we can start doing injections and dry brining like on the chicken as early as we can.
That's, you know, it is fun, but I don't think that people that haven't done it or haven't competed or haven't been around it, they probably don't understand how much work is really goes into this and the prep time. It's not just show up and, you know, open up a vacuum pack bag of ribs from Smithfield or something and then throw them in a smoker and go. It's a little more to it than that.
Yeah, there's a lot more to it than that, as we've learned over the years. And it really, I mean, it's, you know, it's probably, you know, probably 5, 6, 7 hours of prep just on cutting the meat up before we hit the site. So,
oh yeah, it's a lot of work. Well, excuse me, we're talking with Greg Gerstner from UTB, the winner of the ribs division at the Open at the Royal, and we're going to take a break here on Barbecue Nation. And for all our affiliates down the line, you can do the same, and then we'll be right back. Nation, I'm JT, and we are listening to this on the Radio Northwest Network and stations down in Texas, and all of our affiliates, and on the podcast too. So there, I think I covered pretty much everything. This portion of Barbecue Nation is brought to you in part by Painted Hills Natural Beef. From the heart of the Pacific Northwest comes a beef product you can feel really good about. And also Barclays, my friends down in Woodburn, Oregon there, Barclays Buy Sell Pond. They've got all kinds of special things. You can look them up online, go to Barclays.com, or you can go to their store on eBay, Barclays Store. And they've got some really fun and funky collectibles. Always a good time down there. And we're talking with Greg Gerstner, who's the rib champ at the Open at the Royal this year. Do you have to cook at home now because you're a champ?
You know, I thought that I was going to retire from the win, but it didn't work out. Yes, now everybody wants me to cook, so and I enjoy it. So
yeah,
it's been good.
Yeah, that's. I mean, I've been invited to a lot of parties, and I at first I was naive enough to think that they actually wanted me there as a friend to have fun. And then when you get there, they hand you some tongs and point you to the barbecue. And then I know their motives at that point.
I know the feeling.
It's tough. It's tough. So you work with any specific brands, Greg, that you on your pork or your briskets or anything?
Yes, on the briskets, we're a big believer in Snake River Farms, which is the American Wagyu kind of form of brisket. And it's the best product we've ever seen in terms of brisket. And then in terms of ribs, there's a product from Seaboard called Prairie Fresh, and a local butcher called Bickelmeyer's here helps us select them, looks at the bones, and really has done a great job for us in terms of selecting those. And on the chicken, we try to find the chicken with the thinnest skin so we get that bite-through skin.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we don't really have one product, but we, you know, work with a couple of local producers here and in Oklahoma to find those. So, you know, so we try to look for the best product that we can.
I had one person, I don't remember who it was telling me that they use Smart Chickens, and I said I'd never heard of Smart Chickens. Not the product per se, but a smart chicken. I didn't know much about that. So we used to have chickens when I was a kid, and I never knew them to be at the top of the food chain, so to speak, on the intelligence quota. So anyway, and what kind of smokers do you use or cookers?
We have a couple depending on what we're cooking. For the ribs, we used a Marshall that's produced by the Good One. So it's, you know, they've been around for a long time. We had just got the new model of the Good One Marshall, and, you know, obviously worked out pretty well. And then on brisket and chicken, we use something called the Fast Daddy, FEC 100, that is a great smoker too.
Did you have to go through many smokers and cookers to finally find something that you liked?
Yes. When I really didn't know what we were doing, we had some kind of, I'd call it lower-end smokers that were okay, but it just didn't keep the temperature, you know, as consistent as we wanted.
Uh-huh.
And then somebody suggested that I try the Good One smoker. So I bought this Marshall, and it just worked out great and kept the temperature very, very consistent. And then on other things, we found that even though it's a pellet, the pellet smoker, the Fast Daddy, really did really well on our brisket. So it was kind of trial and error.
Sure.
And landed on those.
When we talked earlier in the previous segment about prepping your meats and stuff prior to the event, but when do you apply your rubs, and walk us through that process? And do you spritz them at all if they're in the smokers? I mean, kind of walk us through your whole thing, and especially like what temperatures do you cook at?
Yeah, you know, we like to get a little sleep. So, you know, at home, you would cook, you know, generally 250, maybe 225. So we take the temperature up a little bit to 275. And it's amazing how fast that speeds the process up. And so we're cooking everything at 275 for the contest. And like the earliest thing we do is when we get to the site, probably 3 p.m., on the day before, we're dry brining the chicken. So a little salt, a little baking soda, so it's taking that moisture out of the skin.
Mm-hmm.
And then generally, you know, probably 4 to 5 hours before we put the big meats on, the brisket and the pork butt, we'll be injecting those. We kind of tweak it, but we use butcher's barbecue kind of injections because the meat holds those injections so well. And then we'll put the rub on the meat 4 to 5 hours before. For the ribs, you know, maybe a half an hour before we put it on the smoker, or we put the rub on the ribs. So that's kind of the process.
On the big meats, like the brisket and the butts, do you put them back in the cooler after you've rubbed them, or do you just leave them at room temperature, or how do you handle that?
Yeah, no, after we inject them and rub them, we'll put them in an aluminum pan and then either put a lid or more oil over the top, and then put them back in the Yeti. And the nice thing about the Yeti, they have those kind of ice packs, so you're not dealing with loose ice and water and that kind of stuff getting into it. So with those ice packs, you get none of that, and you know, it stays very cool for a long time. So we put them back in.
And then you put the beer on top of that in the cooler?
Yeah, or Fireball or whatever we have.
Yeah, a little Fireball. There you go. That'll get you started on a cold, brisk morning. Either that or it'll start the diesel in your truck, you know, one of the two.
Yeah, or you're going to do really bad if you have too much of that. So
that's true. That's true. I worked at a liquor store one time for a while, and right when Fireball and one of the other ones, kind of cinnamon things, came out, and you know, people were going kind of bats over the thing at first, and then you'd come in and they'd say, no, I don't, you know, not till 9 o'clock at night, you know, not till 9 o'clock at night, you know, like that.
Yeah,
you know?
Absolutely.
So I laugh about that. What's your biggest pleasure in doing this, Greg? I mean, obviously winning and that, but it's kind of aside from the competitive part. What brings you the biggest pleasure in doing this?
I really like it when you are able to serve somebody something that they think is really good and that they don't normally get. And to see the look on their face when they're biting into something like that. So that you know, brings a lot of joy.
Do you make any samples available for the public at your competition?
We don't. Generally, they try to discourage that.
But, yeah.
You know, if people come around, we'll feed them different things that will be cooking for dinner for us and that kind of stuff. So, you know, generally they try to, the contest organizers, for I guess food permitting and that kind of stuff, try to not encourage us to give samples away.
Which, right.
For some people showing up to a contest, it's hard for them to wrap their head around because they're at a contest and they think they're going to get samples, and that's not supposed to happen. So, you know, the contests that make the public happy, if they let them know that ahead of time and where the vendors are to get barbecue.
Sure. We've been talking with Greg Gerstner here, Rib Champ at the Open at the Royal this year, and we're going to take a break. Don't forget, you can email us at BBQNation, that's BBQNation at alphamediausa.com. And we'll be back and wrap up the show with Greg right after this. Hey, welcome back to BBQ Nation. I'm JT, and we're talking with Greg Gerstner from... won the ribs, I should say. I was reading my notes, and my notes were, it was like I was dyslexic when I wrote them or something, from UTB Barbecue. You won the ribs in the open division at the Royal a little over a month ago. And what is your favorite protein, meat, whatever you want to call it, I don't care, to cook, actually, Greg? Which one do you like the best?
I do like cooking brisket and ribs, or probably brisket one, and then ribs would be a close second.
And which one do you cook at home for the family, or does the family like more?
I think the family likes the brisket the best out of all of them.
You ever keep the burnt ends and stuff for yourself and not, like, share them? I do.
No, I do, too. There is nothing better than burnt ends, in my opinion.
Yeah. It's like, oh, you wouldn't like this, honey. See how dark that is? You wouldn't like it. No, it's fine. And we don't, you know, say we'll save them for the dog, but we don't have a dog. So I'm the dog. You know? I don't. So where do you go from here, champ? More competitions next year? What are you going to do?
Yeah, I think we're going to try to do a few more competitions and, try to compete hard. So I think that's where we go and try to find the contest around here that, would be fun and interesting and, show up and compete hard.
You don't travel too far? I mean, you've got other business interests and stuff, and I understand, so you can't really be gone, 4 or 5 days a week all the time.
Now, the good thing about Kansas City is there's so many contests starting from May to October. Within an hour drive, you could do a contest almost every week. So we're very fortunate to have that opportunity.
So with your teammates, who gets to keep the trophies? Do you keep them because you're the pit master, or do you pass them around?
Well, it's going to be passed around, but I have it now, and if I give it up, then, it's going to go to my son for a little bit. But, I have it for right now.
Is he going to put it on the at the restaurant where he works, the high-end restaurant, and put it out front so it's a champion ribs?
I hope so, but I hope it doesn't drive business away from a high-end restaurant.
Well, if they're serving escargot or something and you've got a, barbecue rib championship trophy right there, I don't see what the problem is.
I don't either. I hope he does.
What does your wife think about all this?
She was really excited for us and, really... has got into barbecue. She's from Colorado, and she came to Kansas City with me a long time ago and has really got into barbecue also. So it's been really fun. It's been really a family thing.
Is it to the point where you can, cook a couple briskets at Christmas, wrap them up in tinfoil, and put a bow on them and say, here's your Christmas present?
She would enjoy that. I can't get away with that, but she would really enjoy that if I did it, sure.
I understand. I've tried that a couple times. Take my advice, counselor. It doesn't work very well. So,
duly noted.
Yeah, duly noted. Put it in the record, because if anybody's dumb enough to actually try that like I did, I don't. just take some advice from your old cowboy here and don't do that. One last thing. Is there anything, I want to end this on a positive note, but this is kind of fair critique. Anything about the competitions that you would like to see changed at this point?
The only thing I can think of is, two things. One, it's really important to have certified judges, I think, and sometimes they run a little short of those, and with all the effort that the teams put in fairness, they should have, every judge should be certified by KCBS and taking the class. And then I just think educating the public in terms of, you can't go around at a contest and ask people for samples and really educating them about where to get barbecue from a concession, that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, the contest organizers do a great job.
Yep, they are good, and it's a big job, especially for something like the Royal or the Jack or any of those. Those are huge endeavors. Mm-hmm. Huge endeavors. Greg Gerstner from UTB Barbecue, the champion in the ribs at the Open Division at the Royal this year. Thank you, sir, for being with us here on Barbecue Nation. I really Enjoyed talking with you, and I enjoyed your input.
Good. Good to be with you.
No problem. We're going to get out of here, and we'll be back next week with another KCBS winner. And remember our motto here, turn it, don't burn it. And check out my stuff on thecowboycook.com. And I got one more thing to say. Take us home. Out of here, Camaro Dave. We will see you all next week. Take care.